And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Ahoy, me mateys, and welcome into RBLR Bucks. Thank you so much for tapping in with us tonight. To all our listeners and all the Buccaneers fans out there, we seriously appreciate you rocking with us. If you love ball and if you love talking ball, you're in the right place. For those who don't know me, I'm Musab, one of your co-hosts tonight. And yeah, the Buccaneers season it's over, but let's be real. Around here, football never really stops. This is the perfect time to reflect, break things down, talk coaches, players, talk about what worked, what didn't, and where this team is headed next. Believe me, we are going to get all into it this offseason. And a real quick, friendly reminder to everyone listening, please do drop your hot takes, your comments, your concerns, your questions, all of it. Nothing is off limits. We're open all year long. We're open ears all year long. That's just how we do it here at RBLR. But, you know, I got to show some love to the rest of the RBLR crew holding it down across the board, covering the Rays, Lightning, the Rowdies, the Sun, and our beloved University of South Florida Bulls Athletics. So nothing but love and respect to the whole squad, but enough for me. It's time to bring in the rest of the crew. First up, one half of what I like to call the iconic duo. He's always ready. He's always locked in, always down to talk football at any hour. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Zach Blaine. Zach, how you doing tonight? And, you know, what's been going on with you? You know, you catch any games this past weekend? You like anything?
Dude, I'm going to be honest with you. All the games I watched were really good games. It was not a boring weekend of football by any means. Well, the Steelers game was kind of rough to watch. Not that I like the Steelers, but it was just a boring game to watch.
It was fun to watch Texas defense, though, just take off like that.
It was nice. It was nice to see. I think it's going to be a fun playoffs for sure, so I'm excited to keep watching that. It was weird not watching Tampa in it, but kind of expected it. Outside of that, I got a new cat, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I was about to say congrats on being a new cat dad. All right.
Well, wow. It was fun, man. How was your weekend?
So far, yeah, I was just going to say we had a great weekend of football, entertaining, you know, regardless of, you know, what scores we saw, whether it was a close game or it was an embarrassment. Like, I mean, just watching, you know, Indiana cook up Oregon, I had a little bit of displeasure in that.
My heart's so happy.
How can you hate on a team like IU? You know, it's just like they're on a hot streak, and just everything about the story. I could go on and on, but you know, I got to bring in the final puzzle piece of this iconic trio. He is the man who keeps things moving, keeps things sharp, and is never short on football takes. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Mr. Carter Brantley. Carter, same question. You know, how you doing, man? Was there any, you know, specific games you watched, didn't watch, you like?
Oh, man. I mean, like Zach said, I pretty much loved them all. And I mean, even the Steelers game that was super ugly, I kind of enjoyed watching them, you know, get the beat down. So, you know, it wasn't an entertaining game for the football, but, you know, the hater watch was a good one. So
that's how I felt about Oregon, bro.
There you go. Indiana, I mean, my goodness, what more can you say, really? It was just a really fun weekend of football. It's going to be tough to replicate, right? Because, you know, they've got some good division matchups this weekend, but, you know, we'll see. There's a lot going on, but I loved, like, the Packers-Bears game, just so back and forth, like really, really crazy stuff. And even the Bills-Jaguars game was outstanding too. Rams-Panthers was great too. And we're going to get to all that in the second half of our episode. But the big Bucks news, I figured we'd start with the Bucks news first, you know, kind of get all the blech out of the way, because it's a lot of blech right now, even though it's exciting because it's a new offensive coordinator search. That's kind of the big news of this week. They've conducted a few formal interviews with Todd Monken. And I believe Brian Callahan had an interview as well as Zach Robinson. So we'll get into our favorite candidates, guys that we want them to hire. Maybe it'll be one of those guys. Maybe it'll be a guy we haven't even mentioned or thought of. And then we'll get into some awards because, you know, NFL award season coming up. And it's kind of fun. You know, it's kind of fun thought exercise, some stuff to talk about around the league. And then to finish out the episode, we'll get into some specifics with the NFL playoff games because there's a lot to talk about. You know, there's some fun stuff for sure. Maybe not necessarily super Bucks related, but Bucks adjacent. You know, that's how I like to frame it at least. But we'll start with the offensive coordinator search. Zach, I'll start with you, man, because you're kind of the most, I guess, opinionated would be a good way of putting it, of the three of them. So who's your favorite OC candidate? Maybe who's your least favorite? Like, who would be a guy that you would see them hire and just, like, get angry and, you know.
I mean, anyone they've interviewed so far, I'm not happy with. Let me rephrase that. I don't hate the Monken, however you pronounce his name. I don't hate that interview. Unfortunately, I think he's going to end up going where Harbaugh goes.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't think that he's a legitimate option for us, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we're looking at experience this season as opposed to years past. But Mike Kafka's offense didn't look great. Zach Robinson has always – I don't know that he was – when he called plays, like, his offense was not very good either. Brian Callahan, everywhere he's been, he's never really called plays. He got play calling taken away from him, if I'm not mistaken, at his last job. So it's just everyone that we've interviewed so far, I don't want them, but it's probably going to be better than Grizzard.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of the bar, and it's a very low bar.
Exactly. I'm surprised we haven't brought any D2 schools, offensive coordinators, or QB coaches to see how they do, but – The McDaniel interview Friday is intriguing. My hopes are not high at all. He's got four other head coaching interviews already with Atlanta, Tennessee, Browns, and who was the other one? There was one more again.
Maybe the Giants. I can't even remember.
No, it wasn't the Giants. It was, let's see, Cleveland, Tennessee, Falcons, and Baltimore.
Yes,
and then he's got an offensive coordinator interview for Detroit as well. It's going to be hard to outdo a head coach interview. It's going to be hard to outdo a head coach offer. As far as offensive coordinator, I think we've got a pretty intriguing unit to work with. Is it as intriguing as the Lions offensive unit? I don't think so. I don't know that I'd go that far. But it could be fun, and he's who I want. I mean, I want him to be our head coach, if I'm being completely honest. So,
yeah, same here. He's
who I would love to have on this team. I just don't expect to get blessed with that, if that makes sense.
No, I'm 100% with you. I think I'm in full agreement in terms of who my favorite is, and I'm in agreement, Mike McDaniel. The only – if I'm reaching for copium here, you know, the Bucks do have kind of a way for him to get a promotion to head coaching position, as opposed to the Lions, where if he's successful in Detroit, then Dan Campbell's keeping his job. You know, Dan Campbell, great coach.
Dan Campbell's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yes. Whereas there's a very real world where the Bucks have a great offensive season, the defense sucks, they move on from Todd Bowles, and then they just promote Mike McDaniel. You know, so
which maybe would that's, be ideal. I don't know. Looking at past seasons, from an offensive coordinator standpoint, if you have full faith that the Glazers are going to shit can Todd Bowles even after a bad season, we've still got him for three more years. We're still on the hook for a lot of money. And yes, I don't think the Glazers want to spend that money on firing a coach. Even, I believe Rondé Barber said a big reason why he wasn't fired this year was because of money. Like,
yeah,
which is such a shitty way to run an organization.
Yeah, it's awful. Unfortunately, the Glazers have, you know, they always joked about them owning Manchester United. I don't know if they still have majority ownership or if that's still even a factor. But yeah, they have a reputation as being one of the cheaper owners in football. Yeah,
checks out.
Yeah, obviously there's the Bengals, which is like the gold standard for
cheapness. They're not even in the league.
Right, exactly. So it's kind of a depressing thing. But yeah, so we'll see how much of a factor that plays into it. But regardless, I, like I said, I'm trying to silver lining, glass half full type of thinking with McDaniel, because he is my favorite candidate, and it would be really fun if they could get him in the building. But Mr. Mustab, maybe you disagree. Maybe you have another guy that you wanted to highlight that we haven't brought up for this offensive coordinator position.
Well, I think my biggest priority is, I think having experience, because clearly it didn't work out with Josh Grizzard doing the little in-house promotion. I think this was not a good move. And the candidates are out there, but I feel like Mike McDaniel is definitely my favorite as well. If I'm the Buccaneers, I don't let him leave, you know, our office on Friday without an offer or something. Todd Monken, great as well. I mean, already, you know, he has experience with the Buccaneers, experience with Baker. I've heard kind of mixed feelings about his time last time with Baker. But I mean, it could work out again. You know, there's just a lot of kind of those, you know, like specific X's and O's kind of things explaining, you know, this guy's coaching style, you know, is going to fit well with our sort of play style and all that. And to be honest, I can't answer that from the top of my head. But I think, you know, it's very nice to know that we have experienced guys who have proven themselves before. And, that's all I really want. The only thing that, you know, there's always that kind of, you know, I don't want to say, you know, black sheep or something, but Nate Shielhaas, whose name has been popping up, not even just for us. We interviewed him last year as well. Imagine if we took him instead of Grizzard, but that's another story. But yeah, right. He's the Rams pass game coordinator. I think he's like a sleeper who's interviewed before, you know, run McVay's top passing attack, young rising name, part of the, you know, McVay tree. So I think it's intriguing, but I'd rather just go the experience route. I mean, there's some other names I even thought about. I wondered why, for example, like Brian Daboll's name has not been mentioned too much. I think he did get one head coach offer or offensive coordinator interview offer. I forgot from which team, but to leave it at that, I'm fine with, you know, what we've seen before, or, you know, with the guys that we plan on interviewing. But all eyes are on McDaniel. But my only fear is we let all these guys slip. And we end up with someone who it was not anyone thought about. Sure.
Yeah, I think the biggest or the biggest like thing that would wake me up in the middle of the night. I mean, not, that's kind of dramatic, but the Eagles offensive coordinator that just got let go. He would be a disaster hire for me for the Bucs. And it's a very, very real possibility. I've seen it floated on the social medias. People seem to, I don't know, just kind of ignore the fact that they were running like a high school level offense in Philadelphia this year. I don't know. That would probably be my least favorite hire. I know that, like, you know, you don't, you know, I know people want to bring in someone with experience, but I'd rather just hire a first time coordinator rather than the Eagles former offensive coordinator personally. Cause that was just such a disaster this season, wasted such a talented roster on both sides of the ball, but the offense was actually supposed to be like at least decent. And they were like atrocious. Like they were part of the biggest reason why they weren't nearly as good as they were the previous season. So that would probably be my least favorite hire, frankly. But Mike McDaniel, definitely a good one. And I love the Shielhaas shout. He's getting head coaching interviews.
Yeah.
Whatever reason. That's really fascinating. I think he would be really interesting. He's probably my second favorite just because of the wild card aspect of him. I don't believe in Todd Monken, Zach Robinson, or Brian Callahan, or a lot of these other proven, like, previous coordinators enough. Like, they haven't had a lot of success separated from, like, you know, like Brian Callahan, Bengals offensive coordinator, Joe Burrow, like Zach Robinson in LA, obviously with Sean McVay, and Todd Monken getting to coach Lamar Jackson. Like, you know, I don't know, but anyways, I digress. Those are some interesting names that we'll have to watch for the OC search as they continue to move forward. They'll keep doing interviews, and hopefully we'll see a little bit more solidified news moving forward. But our next segment, we're going to be talking about the awards. We're going to be talking about MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, and whatnot. So we'll start with the big one. We'll start with MVP. Mr. Zach Blaine, who you got winning MVP this year? Who's your guy?
It's all kind of a wide open race for me this year, if I'm being honest. With Mahomes out, I think it's between Drake May and Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a two-horse race.
Yeah,
and I just think what Stafford has done at his age and what he's been able to keep the Rams team relevant, I got to give it to Stafford.
Yeah, no, I it's very much like my guy's Drake May, but I totally get Stafford. Like, I'm not really going to be too upset either way, because Stafford leads the league in passing yards and passing touchdowns at his age. Like, he's not like, there's the kind of the storyline of, well, he's not going to get another shot at this. Drake May is probably going to at least have another MVP caliber season. So I totally sympathize with that. Drake May is definitely the, like, you know, he's fourth in QB rushing yards and he's first in total expected points added by a significant amount, but that's not what NFL MVP voters factor into their decision.
Exactly. And he's looked great. And it's one of those things where if he were to win it over Stafford, I wouldn't be like, oh, this shit's rigged. Like, right. Has a valid, either one of them, in my opinion, has a valid excuse to win and throw in a random Jonathan Taylor. And like, I think that everything would be awesome.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I think when people bring in like the strength of schedule thing, that's kind of where they lose me with Stafford. Cause like Stafford has a valid MVP case without bringing up like college football arguments. You know, this isn't, you know, a Heisman candidacy or like the college football playoff. Like, it's the NFL. Like, everyone's a professional. Like, we don't need to get into like, well, Drake May played in the AFC East and Matthew Stafford played in the NFC West. Like, all right, like, I get it, but like, come on now, you know, like, this is the NFL. Like, everyone's getting paid, you know? So I don't know. These are grown men, but Mr. Patrick, do you have a different name, or are you kind of on the same boat? Two name race for you? What you got?
Yeah, it's a two name race. It's the Stafford May show. I'm gonna put my money on Stafford, but you know, to see someone like Drake May win the award, I think it's, you know, something capable of happening. But I don't know. It just was very nice to see, you know, the way he was able to elevate the Patriots just in his sophomore year.
For sure.
But I mean, Stafford just been balling. You know, he's leading the NFL in passing yards, passing touchdowns, only 8 interceptions. So
for sure.
For what it's worth, his age as well, he's been playing phenomenal. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really fascinating because we'll talk about the Offensive Player of the Year award soon. But in fact, we can just segue right into that. The Offensive Player of the Year, like Matthew Stafford's throwing to him potentially. Like Puka Nacua is definitely, it's either him or Jackson Smith and Njigba. I went with Jackson Smith and Njigba, even though I think Puka's going to win, just because I like Smith and Njigba a little bit better. Like he's been so much fun to watch this year. Like he's got the highest target share. Like he is the Seahawks offense. You know what I mean? Like he's like kind of, I don't want to say all they got, because Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet are both really fun running backs, but JSN, without him, that offense is like lost. It's not good. But I also understand like Puka's probably going to win because he's got all the stats and all the categories. But Musab, who you got for Offensive Player of the Year? You got Puka or JSN? Or you got a third wild card option that maybe we're not thinking of?
No, I was going to go JSN. I feel like this was the year that I really paid, you know, close attention to him. He's been having a baller year. Darnold's been cooking with him. So, yeah, I'd have to go JSN. But Puka's a great choice as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Puka has just been really, really good. You know, he's kind of similar to JSN in that, like, without him, the Rams offense does take a step down. But having Devontae Adams, who leads the NFL in receiving touchdowns, which is just fascinating. The Rams offense is just so stinking good, while JSN is the Seahawks offense. So it's an interesting conversation to have. But Zach, maybe you're gonna submit a Jonathan Taylor vote. I don't want to speak for you, but
I'm going Puka Nacua. I think he is the best wide receiver in the NFL. I will go out on a limb and say that I think he's overtaken every other receiver in the NFL.
I agree,
and I think this year was a year that proved it to me. Now, my number two, I know you guys are all JSN fans. I'm not that I'm hating on him. I like him, but I think Jonathan Taylor was much more important to his team, as far as if he would have went down, this team would have collapsed. Just, I mean, I guess kind of the same way as JSN, but I don't think to that extent. Sure. I think that Jonathan Taylor has a legitimate, he was by far the best running back in the league. And almost felt like disrespectfully not talked about this year. I would go him for my second place, but all three of those, like, I think that should be your top three for Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, agreed. And what's sad is that I think the conversation around Jonathan Taylor probably changes if Daniel Jones doesn't go down. Then the Colts are probably at least in contention for another playoff spot. And maybe they sneak in as a wild card, and then Jonathan Taylor has obviously a big part to play in that. And his numbers are probably better if Daniel, not probably, they're better if Daniel Jones.
100%, yeah.
So it's tough, man, because he started off the season, like you said, insane, like ridiculously hot. And then it's just, you know, when you've got, you know, no disrespect to Riley Leonard, but when you've got Riley Leonard under center, it's a different thing.
Don't disrespect the real quarterback that came and played for them. Philip Rivers. Jack Nabbit.
My bad. All hail Philip Rivers. I feel you. But that's the thing, you know. And it's a shame that, like, that's what's so frustrating about NFL conversations sometimes, is how much, like, individual performances get influenced by external factors that, like, these guys have no control over. Like, Jonathan Taylor didn't injure Daniel Jones, you know. Like, he didn't contribute to that. So it's just, it's frustrating that, like, but unfortunately, that's the way it is. You know, that's the way it is, unfortunately. So it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing for sure. But moving to Defensive Player of the Year, this one might be a short one. I got Myles Garrett. Like,
Myles Garrett, man. No debate.
It's not even a competition.
Not even a conversation. All right, we can move on. That's an easy one. These next two may be a little bit more interesting, just because there's not really there's a guy that's probably the favorite, but they're not nearly as dominant as these other categories. Offensive Rookie of the Year, I have T-Mac from the Panthers. He was outstanding this year. He had a really, really good season, a big reason why the Panthers managed to make that push near the end of the season. But I also loved Cam Ward's rookie season, despite Tennessee's just incompetence across the board. He still showed, like, oh, this guy was the number one pick for a reason. I kind of had my doubts just because of the Titans' inability to put a good team around him, but he might be able to elevate past that and still have a really good career. I hope so, because he's really fun to watch. So he's definitely in the conversation as well. But I went T-Mac. But Mr. Tariq, who you got for Offensive Rookie of the Year for the NFL?
I would have to go T. I mean, he's the only rookie, you know, to get over 1,000 yards. He was also real big, you know, when it came to the third and fourth down. So
for sure,
Just the impact that, you know, he had as a rookie for the Panthers, I feel like was big, you know. So,
yeah,
I think there's plenty of options. Maybe Zach's got a different name. I hope he does.
Zach?
Y'all are gonna force me to pick a different name, bro.
No,
you don't have to.
Dude, we went into this draft this year, and I was very firm on T-Mac being the best receiver in this draft. He came out and did not disappoint. He was the only true number one wide receiver this year, out of the rookies, obviously. By far the best first round wide receiver. Like, he was a stud. God, I don't want to say it, but Tyler Shuck.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
That's a good point.
I can respect that.
Tyler Shuck and Jackson Dart, had he had his whole offense, I think would have been up there. Yeah. But Shuck, I don't want to give the Saints any damn credit, but
they hit that pick, though. I think he's legit.
Put that team on a run to end the year.
He looks really fun.
I think we'd be dumb not to at least throw some love his way.
Absolutely.
And again, I was high on him out of college too. I know he was 27, 30.
Yeah, that was the issue for me.
But I think he's 25, if I'm not mistaken. Like, he's not even that old, but he's old.
Right.
But I think he's got a legitimate case with that stretch of wins to end the year. I think him or T-Mac are the two front runners for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Shove, whatever. He had a great finish to the year.
Yeah. Something like that.
We could call him Michael Vick playing against Tampa.
Right. Yeah. He was running around like a vanilla Vic for sure. But yeah, he was great, man. He had a great finish of the season, and the Saints are going to be really well set up next year. I'm going to be fascinated to watch how their offseason goes, because, man, if they sign some free agents, bring in some, you know, help for Tyler, like, that could be a really interesting offense for sure. So yeah, definitely a name to watch in that race as well. And now finally, kind of the weakest class out of all of these awards, in my opinion, Defensive Rookie of the Year. Not really a whole lot of, like, standout performances for me. I kind of had to pick Carson Schwesinger just kind of by default, sort of. I'm open to being swayed, because I am not, like, this is not a, oh, it's Carson. Like, no, not at all. Like, I am not planting my flag on that at all. I think he might be the favorite at this point. That's kind of the reason why I picked him, just because, like, you know, maybe you pick Pierce or Walker from Atlanta, one of their first round pass rushers. They had pretty good years, but man, kind of a disappointing rookie class for the defensive side of the ball. But Mr. Blaine, maybe you've got a pick that's gonna surprise us. Who you got for defensive rookie of the year?
I wish I did, brother. I wish I did. I went Carson Schwechinger. I wanted Tampa to draft him so bad, and damn it, man, to use them. I like Ibuka.
Clearly, Tampa doesn't listen to you, Zach.
And then everyone that I say is going to be good ends up being good. I'm telling you, I think I've earned the right to be a scout in the NFL, if you ask Todd Bowles.
Zach Light.
Carson Schwechinger is my favorite to win it, and I think that he was a standout and one of the few standouts. My second, again, I don't want to give credit to the interdivision teams, but James Pierce Jr., who everyone gave shit for alleged off the field issue or locker room issues at Tennessee.
Right.
He came out and he put up more sacks than anyone on Tampa.
He was great.
I think that he was a stud. I think he's going to be great in Atlanta. I think he's a big part of this last draft class is a big part of what makes the Atlanta job interesting. So it's between JPJ or Carson Schwechinger for me.
Yeah, really.
What about you, Musab? What's your
I would just say the only the closest challenger has got to be James Pierce, but no, I'm going Carson Schwechinger as well. It's been weird, at least with the defensive rookie of the year. It didn't even come to my mind, to be honest, much as like offensive rookie of the year. We saw those names from you know Dart to Shuck pulling his up his name and T-Mac. Hell, even Egbuka was at one point kind of up there. Or if he was, I think like yeah. It was the battle between him and T-Mac. So, I like it all. And, just feels weird. Or how odd is it such a poverty franchise like the Browns have the defensive player of the year and the defensive rookie of the year?
I mean, that's what happens when you keep your people around.
Yeah, sorry, I dropped out there for a second.
No, you're good, brother. Best bit of the whole show.
There you go. Yeah, shout out Spectrum and Verizon, man. They're having a heck of a day.
Brother, I've not had service since noon today on my cell phone.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah, shout out to Verizon. They're great. Anyways, if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe because you're looking at your phone and getting frustrated by the phone service like Zach Blaine and myself, and maybe Musab Tariq as well, then get like Musab Tariq. Go to shop.rblrsports.com. Get yourself an upgrade to your wardrobe. We've got everything Tampa Bay sports related covered. We got the Team USA gear that Mr. Tariq was rocking so beautifully. So definitely head there. We'll give you a promo code. That's Canon, CANNONS. Type that bad boy in. Get 10% off your entire order. We'd really appreciate it. It's a way to support the podcast a little bit. But to finish out the episode, we've got a few things that we want to talk about from this past weekend's slate of playoff games. Because it was a good one. You know, it was the wild card weekend. And there were a lot of really good games, but I wanted to start there. What was the best game for y'all, like entertainment-wise, if best storyline, whatever your criteria? Musab Tariq, what was the best game for you from this past weekend?
Ooh, I gotta go Bills-Jags. That was a real fun game just because the kind of background, just to see the Jags, change things up and – of course, Liam Cohen's their head coach. But, I mean, I wanted to, I think they deserve respect and love and all that. And then, I mean, all eyes were on Josh Allen. So, I mean, it was a shootout. The Bills. Bills pulled away at the end. Yeah. Bills pulled away in the end. But, man, it was entertaining. All of them were all great. But that one, and then I would just say that one, and then Pittsburgh and Texans I saw closely. That wasn't that fun to watch, other than the fact that Texans just bullied the hell out of Rodgers. But give me Bills Jags. I could watch that game again. That was so fun.
Yes, absolutely. No, I loved the Bills Jags. I mean, you know, watching Josh Allen and Trevor Lawrence, both, they're both super like mobile quarterbacks that are real physical runners too. They're both so like, they're massive individuals. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. And just, yeah, a lot of talent and, you know, two kind of long suffering franchises. I hate that the Jacksonville Jaguars had to be eliminated. It kind of sucks because like they're a pretty good team too. And it kind of, it's kind of a bummer, but you know, that's the NFL playoffs for you. Zach, do you have a favorite game? And I wanted to give you a shot. Do you have a new Super Bowl team? Cause now that the Jags have been knocked out.
So I got to go Bills.
I
spoke highly of them last week too. I was going Jacksonville more out of anger at Tampa for not firing Todd Bowles and letting Liam Cohen go coach somewhere else. That was a dumb decision on my part, and I admit to it. I do think this is the Bills to lose, if I'm being honest. Josh Allen is by far the best. I would say by far the best quarterback in the playoffs. I think Trevor Lawrence is up there at second, in my opinion. I don't foresee anyone beating the Bills. Their defense is a little bit questionable at times, but luckily they're playing the Broncos next. Eureka, close your ears. I'm sorry, sir. Their offense isn't very high-powered, so I am pretty high on the Bills this season. Now watch, they're going to lose. They're going to lose this weekend. I know it's going to happen because I called it out. I want them to win, but that's my pick. Most entertaining game, I agree with Musab, Bills-Jags. That was one that I didn't want to see either team get eliminated because they both look pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's a great shout. And our producer, you know, he's firing at us with the Broncos propaganda. And the Broncos have won more one-score games than any other team in football. Eureka, I hate to say it, I feel like that's an argument that they've been getting really lucky. But, you know.
You know who else won a lot of one-score games? Tampa to start the season. They finished 1-9.
Right, that's the whole baseball thing. Like your record in one-run games, you know, it can flip from year to year, and it's like one-score games in football, you know. So, I don't know. But, no, the Broncos have a great defense. They have such an elite squad out there. And, you know, Bo Nix, you know, they've got Sean Payton. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know. I'm not a big Bo Nix fan. I don't know. I've got friends that, like, just kind of glaze him. Then, oh, he's a winner, you know. And it's like, okay, well, let's slow our roll here, Chief. But anyways.
Weird. I don't hate Bo Nix. I actually like Bo Nix.
Yeah, it's not a dislike as a person or anything. It's just I just don't think he's very good, you know. Like,
I think he's a decent quarterback. I think
he's average.
It works out perfect for Sean Payton, if I'm being honest with you.
For sure.
Every quarterback he's had has kind of been a game manager. Like, I love Drew Brees as a quarterback. I don't think he was a game changer. I think he was a game manager. And I think that it kind of fits what Sean Payton needs perfect.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, my favorite game of the weekend was definitely Green Bay-Chicago. I loved the Buffalo Jaguars game as well. But, A, I wanted to give us a little bit of variety and something else to talk about. But, B, I also genuinely like Jordan Love and Caleb Williams, just two really super talented quarterbacks kind of going at it. And that, oh my goodness, that 4th and 8 or 4th and 9 throw that Caleb, come on, Zach, you got to admit, man.
I will never give credit to Caleb Williams.
I know you don't like him because he probably because he paints his nails or something.
But. No, you know, I don't even care about that part. It was not playing the championship game at USC. It was the sitting out games that irks me a lot.
Yeah, no, I do feel he didn't do himself a whole lot of favors in college with some of the antics and stuff, but I don't know. He's uber talented.
Like, time heals everything, Zach, and people change.
That's right. Plus, you're saying
if he wins this next week, I'll come on the show next week with painted nails for you guys.
Hey, there you go. Hey, I love it. I love it. I might do the same as well. But I don't know. He was also playing for Lincoln Riley, so like getting to see Lincoln Riley like suck is kind of fun because I don't know. Lincoln Riley seems like kind of a turd, but
I like Lincoln Riley.
Oh well, my bad. You know how that goes. Oh man. I don't know. I don't know. That was a really great game because just two really, like I said, two really talented quarterbacks just going at it, and two really talented offenses too, like Ben Johnson and LaFleur, like those are two really great offensive minds, two teams that really seem to hate each other. So a lot of kind of narrative there. So I thought that was really entertaining. But what was the most impressive performance? Like maybe individually or by a team. It doesn't have to be just a single player. For me, Caleb Williams in the second half, I hate to go back to that well, but, man, he really balled out. He looked really impressive. Mousab Tariq, who is your most impressive performance either on a team or an individual level from this past
week? Team, I'm just going to say, yeah, Texans defense. I already said it before. Yeah, they embarrassed Pittsburgh. But player, I'm going to go DeMarcus Robinson from the Niners with Kittle getting banged up as well. And, I mean, they're always banged up, man. They should just call themselves a San Francisco Banger Niners or whatever. Anyways, that didn't sound good. Anyways, but, no, DeMarcus Robinson.
Did you just say the Banger Niners?
No, banged up Niners.
Oh, okay, okay. I was so confused.
No. The banged up Niners. But it did kind of sound like Banger Niners. Anyways, no, DeMarcus Robinson balled out. I mean, he had one hell of a game, especially just the fact that, yeah, as I mentioned, Kittle out. 111 yards, 6 receptions on 7 targets. Just a monster game, huge impact. I feel like no one was really, you know, rooting for the Eagles, or I don't want to say it like that, but it's just so refreshing to see both, you know, Super Bowl, former Super Bowl champions out of the picture now. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a real fun playoff. So I want to give him a shout out. I mean, 49ers have just been dealing with so much. I want to give some love to Robert Saleh as well. DC for the Niners held it down. But yeah, Eagles also had their own issues, so they kind of shot themselves in the foot with that. But yeah, as you say, Carter, I digress.
That's right. No, and thankfully we got to talk about the 49ers-Eagles game because of that, because we haven't even brought it up yet. And that was actually a really good game too. But yeah, DeMarcus Robinson, I mean, the 49ers, like you said, they've lost, you know, Ayuk has his weird, I don't even know what's going on, and then McCaffrey has just – had to be like kind of a bell cow kind of fella. And like, he's a little long in the tooth too. So, and then Kittle going down, man, that sucked. Like, I think, yeah, that's just such a bummer. So DeMarcus Robinson, man, shout out to him. Zach Blaine, any other performances you wanted to highlight either by a team or an individual?
Yeah. Josh Allen, typical Josh Allen performance, you know, 28 for 35, 275, only one passing touchdown, but he added another 2 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah,
he's got Khalil Shakir looking like a great receiver.
Hey, man, Khalil Shakir is, you know.
I like him. I do like Shakir.
No, I feel you, though.
That, 12 receptions, 80 yards. Like, the dude is – that whole team – I mean, Brandon Cooks was their number 2 receiver last week.
Right, yeah.
We even got Frank Gore Jr. getting catches in that game.
Southern Mississippi legend, bro. Southern
Mississippi legend. Exactly. I actually really like him. I'm a fan of his. But yes. I think that – for me, Josh Allen, you can make a case for any of the quarterbacks outside of Aaron Rodgers this week, in all honesty. But yeah, I'm not giving Caleb Williams any flowers.
For sure. Well, regardless, we'll see how they do this weekend. You know, it's going to be a tough battle because, there's going to be a lot of really great games this weekend. They've got a really fun slate coming up. Are there any games that you're kind of looking at maybe that you're like, hey, this could be your favorite matchup maybe? Zach, I'll throw this question right back at you. Are there any games that you're really going to be glued into?
I feel like I'm talking about the Bills a lot, and I kind of hate it, but I also love it. The Bills Broncos game, I think, is going to be one of the best games all weekend. Because I do think that those are two good teams playing each other. Mm-hmm. In all honesty, I'm looking at the other matchups now. Patriots-Texans is going to be interesting because that Patriots O-line last week was not the best. They struggled last week, and I think the Texans are a much better pass rush defense than the Chargers. So
yeah,
Seahawks-Niners, they're all good games, honestly. But I think my favorite one to watch, mostly because if the Broncos lose, I can rub it into Eureka. and if the Broncos win, I can give him his flowers and congratulate Eureka and be happy for Eureka. So
that's right.
That's my go-to this weekend
for sure. Because honestly, I'm not like the biggest Bills fan, anyways. Like, they can be kind of annoying sometimes. So
I just like Josh Allen.
Yeah. So either the Bills lose or the Broncos lose, and the number one seed goes down, and that's
exactly.
So yeah, how about you, Musa? What's a game that you're tuned in for this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to go Bills Broncos because of Matt Prater, but okay.
Yeah. Hey, shout out Matt Prater.
Hey, shout out Matt Prater. No, he's a legend. No, but I really do want. I'm looking forward to. I think they're all going to be great games, but Texans Patriots is going to be exciting just because I want to see how does an MVP candidate like Drake May handle such a fiery defense like the Texans. So. I'm also curious to see if CJ Stroud shoots himself in the foot again. Probably not, but you never know, anything can happen. So that's just my kind of game. I'm expecting to be entertaining. I don't know how what's its turnout or whatever, but expect that to be entertaining. But I do think Texans come out with the win on that.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I love it. Bold prediction. Okay. I mean, if we want to get into some bold game predictions, I mean, Zach, do you have kind of an upset alert that you're maybe on, other than maybe the Bills Broncos, even though technically the Broncos, I think, are underdogs?
Broncos are what I think Eureka said, a 1.5 point underdog or something like that.
Right.
I honestly, the seeding is weird to me. I don't think the Rams are worse than the Bears. So
yeah, Rams are really good.
I think the Rams are going to win that game. I don't think that that's an upset in my opinion. Texans beating the Patriots, I honestly wouldn't be shocked to see that. I agree with you. But I think I wouldn't be shocked to see the Niners beat the Seahawks this week.
Ooh, see, that's probably the boldest one. I think
that's the only one outside of Texans Patriots, because I do think that would be a legitimate upset. Yeah. I think the Niners aren't as bad as people are. Like, I don't think they're a six seed in this playoff.
For sure. Yeah,
but I do think that the Seahawks are one of the best teams in the playoffs, and I would not be shocked to see the Niners come out and put belt to ass on the Seahawks.
Wow, that'll be interesting. I think if the 49ers do win, I don't know if it'll be like a blowout type of victory like that. I think it'll be pretty close, but if George Kittle hadn't gone down,
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
But that's what's tough. Like, even with Kittle out, like, Shanahan is just like on another planet, kind of, with his offensive game.
He's one of my favorite coaches in the league.
Yeah, he's insane. Like, I think he's pretty much top one. Like, I think he might be the best coach in football, even though he still hasn't won a Super Bowl. Like, he can't get it done on the big game, like all that kind of nonsense narrative speak. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's going to be a really fun game because the Seahawks also kind of have like, he might not quite be the Kyle Shanahan of defensive minds, but the Seahawks head coach, he's really cooking. Mike McDaniel's really cooking.
Mike McDonald,
yeah.
I knew I was going to screw that up. I'm sorry, but Mike McDonald is insane. Like, he has that defense playing out of their minds. Like Nick Emmanuel, like, oh my gosh, he's so much fun.
Dude, he's such a another person I liked out of the draft. I wish we would have got.
And you know what? You know who had the highest relative athletic score of the draft from this past year?
Who?
Nick Emmanuel. Carson Schwechinger had a really high RAS score.
Now I don't like him anymore.
That's right.
Harder way to ruin it for me, brother.
No, for sure. It's a fun time, and we'll be talking about some. We're nearing the end of our episode, but we'll be talking about some more NFL draft prospects. We'll be talking about RAS and all the college production and all that stuff. But that's way out in the future. We've got some more we've got some more playoff games to talk about. So we'll bring that up next week, regardless of the results of the games. Even if Caleb Williams loses or gets hurt or whatever, I'll still be here. Zach Blaine will still be here. Mr. Musab Tariq will still be here. So thank you all for tuning in. Hit that like and subscribe button on the way out. Give us a follow if you like what you heard as well. But thank you to my wonderful co-host for making my job incredibly easier. And until next week, and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.